while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
A question of freedom. What does freedom mean? What do we think freedom means? What have people told us freedom means? And why is freedom important in the Christian faith? And again, we're tackling this question, and so it's a little bit different to how we usually would do a sermon. So let's see. If you could talk to the person next to you, ask them the question, what does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? Oh, when I clicked it, it worked. Oh, let me try again then. Thank you.
Wait, she didn't click on. Then they have to restart it. Restart it again. And we try with the clicker on. Yeah, because the clicker's on there. So, don't touch the clicker.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll come back. I'll take some feedback, but first of all, I want us to look at what the definition of freedom is according to the dictionary. So the condition of or right of being able or allowed to do, say, think, etc., whatever you want to without being controlled or limited. Okay. How many of you, just by a show of hands, would agree with this definition? This is what freedom means. Just raise your hands. Okay. Cool. So that's the dictionary definition of freedom. And so on last week, Monday at teen time, I asked the teenagers, what do you think of when you hear freedom? What does freedom mean to you? Before I go to that, there was a few images I looked up that people, when you type freedom on Google, these are the pictures that came up. Yeah. Some balloons being released into the air. A woman looking very happy. So yes, I asked the teenagers, what does freedom mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of freedom? One of them says, not having any restrictions. Being able to do something without anyone telling you it's wrong. Running out into the streets. Me and my friend running along the beach at nighttime. And running out of school. So that's their idea of what freedom is. So now you've had the time to discuss what freedom looks like to you. Just a few feedback would be good. So if you just want to put your hand up and then let me know what somebody said. Felix.
Yeah, Emma says the freedom to choose what to do without, not the freedom to choose to do right.
Yeah. Okay, the freedom to do right, okay. To be able to do what you want to do without any restrictions. Any more answers of what freedom means to you? Go ahead. Yeah.
The freedom to worship without persecution.
The freedom to worship without persecution. Okay, and I'll take one more. No one from this side has said anything. Go ahead, Natasha. An overwhelming sense of peace. Okay, thank you. I love you guys' answers. Oh, okay, we'll have one more.
Susan said I
should
say.
Okay. Freedom in the community. Okay. Thank you all for your answers. again, freedom kind of means different things to different people. So we're going to play a game. So we've spoken about what the definition of freedom is, what you think freedom means to you, and now it's game time, okay? We're going to play a game that says, did the Bible say that, okay? Teenagers who come to Teen Time, please come up. I'm going to need your help with this game. Please come up. Anya, Gabriella, Eliza, I don't know why you're acting shy. Can you come up here, please? Monique, thank you. All right, one of you will need to write scores. No, thank you. So, what will happen in this game, okay? A few quotes are going to come on the screen. You need to tell me if it's in the Bible, if it's not in the Bible. You'll get 1 point for answering the question right. You'll get another point if you know the book that it's written in, and you'll get another point if you know the exact place it's written in the Bible, okay? Okay, so we're in teams, okay? So team, what do you want to call yourselves? Team Freedom, okay? Team Freedom is to my right.
Team Choice.
Team Choice is on the left. So, yeah, Team Freedom, Team Choice. How it's going to work, the quickest side to put your hand up, you get to answer the question. If you get it wrong, it goes to the next team, okay? Teams, I'm going to need you to stand up here so you can see who's put their hand up first, so there's no arguing about it, okay? Oh, no. Do you want to play? Do you want to play? Take a seat on one of the sides. Go play, get inside. Okay. All right. So Team Freedom, Team Choice. You get 1 point if you get it right, 1 point if you know the book it's written in, and another point if you know exactly where it is written, okay? First side to put their hand up gets to go, and the teams will look to see who's put their hand up first. Are we ready? Okay. I'm no bird and no net ensnares me. I am a free human being with an independent will. Is this in the Bible?
No.
You can't shout out. I believe it. Oh, no. No, it's not in the Bible. You are correct. It's not in the Bible at all. Okay, there's no arguments because the teenagers saw that they put their hand up first, okay? Okay, so so the next one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and okay, you can't. Okay. Let's start again. You can't put your hand up until I finish the sentence. Okay. So until I finish reading it, then you can put. What's up? Where? Yeah, but I know. But when I read it, then you can say, hey. Now the Lord is a spirit. I haven't finished it when I finished reading it. Now the Lord is a spirit. No cheating. Or you guys will be disqualified. Now the Lord. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It was this side. Sorry, guys. Is it in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. One mark for them, please. Do you know where it is in the Bible? Nope. Okay. This team, do you know where it is in the Bible? Oh. It is. But what? There's 2 Corinthians. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So 1 point, another point to them. Well done. Does anyone know exactly where it is? And do not cheat and look in the Bible. If you know exactly where it is, put your hand up. Okay, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Okay. So well done, Team Freedom. Okay, the next one. Freedom is not worth having if it does not include a freedom to make
mistakes.
I've not finished reading it. Freedom is not worth having if it does not include a freedom to make mistakes.
Not in the Bible.
Well done, it's not in the Bible. Okay. Next one. Are we ready? For one who has died, for one who has died has been set free from sin.
In the Bible.
The teenagers told me it's Monique, and Monique's on that side, okay? Is it in the Bible, yes or no?
I'm going yes.
Okay. Do you know where in the Bible it is? Oh. Sorry. This side has said Romans. This side said Romans, and they're correct. Does anybody know exactly where it is in Romans? Go ahead. No, it's not Romans 8. One more chance to try this side. No, not Romans 5. It was Romans chapter 6, verse 7. Okay, so no one got that point. Okay, we have another one. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts.
Bible.
Okay. The teen said Louise put her hand up, so Louise, is it in the Bible?
Yes.
So you can't put your hand up unless you know the answer, okay? You can't do that. Is it in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. They have 1 point. They got it right. Where is it in the Bible? Okay, Psalms, well done. Does anyone know exactly where in the Bible? Yeah. Go ahead.
119.
Yeah, but okay. Sorry, guys. It's 119, verse 45. No, I said the exact place. 119, verse 45. But well done. You was close. You was close. Okay, how are we doing? Who's winning? Team Choice, you're winning. Okay, the next one. Are we ready? From every mountainside, let freedom ring. It's not in the Bible, that's correct. Martin Luther King, yes. Well done, well done. I'll give it to you, because you know who wrote it. Okay, get another point. No, just not. Yeah, another one, just one. All right, the last one is going to come up, okay? This one is like the bonus, okay? It's going to be a scripture with missing words, okay? There are 7 missing words. For every missing word you get, you'll get 1 point, okay? If you know the book as well, you'll still get a point. And if you know where, you'll get another point. So in total, you can get yourself 9 points, okay? I will... If you put your hand up, it's only to answer the first missing word, okay? Don't drop down to the fourth missing word. It's the first missing word only. If you do not get it right, it goes to the next team. If the next team don't get it right, that's it. You've missed a point. There's no go back and forth. Does everybody get it? Okay. So I'll read it all first, and then I'll say go, and then you can put your hand up for the first missing word. Through him, something is set free from something. A something, you were not able to obtain something, the law of something. Okay. You're free to put your hand up if you think you know the first one. No, it was Monique. No, sorry. It's not we, so you've all missed the point. The actual word is everyone. I did. Okay, so through him, everyone. That's not what the Bible says. It says everyone. No, it's NIV. It's NIV. Okay. We all read NIV, so don't try it, okay? So, the second word. at what, or Cheryl?
It was really slow.
Who was it, guys? Okay. Sister Hawa. It's not repent, I'm sorry.
Believe.
Well done, it's believe. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from... Go ahead. Pardon? No, sorry, that's not the answer. Monique? No, sorry. That's it, we've had two answers. It was every... Okay, and that's another word there, so... I'm doing one word at a time. Sin. Well done. Who was it? Okay, so far we got... I didn't ask for the second word, I asked for one word. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A... No, not child. This side. No, it's justification. Okay. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you are not able to obtain. Okay. No, not from.
By.
No, not by. Okay. The word was through. Okay. So, you guys, you need to look over that side, okay? Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to attain through the law of Moses. Well done. Okay. Because you got the last point, do you know where it's written? What book? No, it's not Romans. This side, you have a chance. No, it's not Galatians. It's written in the book of Acts. Okay? Acts 13:39. So, who are our winners? Team Choice, well done. You won. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can just wait at the back. Okay, so that was fun. I think it was fun. A lot of you are very competitive. Very, very competitive. Gosh. So we've gone through the definition of freedom according to the dictionary. We've spoken about what we think freedom is. The teenagers have added what they think freedom is. We've gone through scriptures to see what freedom means, but now we're just going to dive a bit more deeper into the Word of God to see what the Christian definition of freedom is. But in order to do that, we're going to go through a bit of a journey through Exodus, okay? So we're going to need a little bit of imagination going on. We're going to imagine that we are Israel, okay? We are slaves to Egypt, to the Egyptians, and so we're just going to start from there. I'm going to need some help from the men. Can all the men just stand up here? On at top here, all the men. All the men. Frank. Okay. So, we're going to imagine that we are the nation of Israel. There's a picture to help us to get into, you know, imaginary mode. We've been slaves to the Egyptians for hundreds of years, okay? All of our men, brothers, dads, uncles, every male title, okay? Every single one of them have slave masters over them, okay? The minute they wake up, they are forced into forced labor. They've got to build all these buildings. They've got to be out in the sun while the sun is beating down on them. They have no freedom whatsoever, okay? And you, as a woman in their lives, know that there's absolutely nothing that you can do to help them, okay? It's just bondage all the time, slavery every single day. We've had two new boys born, and just imagine giving birth to a son knowing that all they're going to grow up to be is a slave, nothing else at all. I want you to imagine what your prayers would be like at this time to God. What would you be asking for? Would you still have hope at this time? And then on top of this happening, all the men in your lives being slaves, having slave masters over them, working tirelessly day in and day out until death, basically. That then Pharaoh decides that every boy who is born to us will get thrown into the River Nile. Their life gone just like that. What would your prayers be like? Would you still have hope? You've been calling out for freedom. Freedom, Lord, freedom, freedom.
This for 400 years.
Yes, it was for 400 years that they were in slavery. And so here we are, we've been crying out to God for freedom, okay? And then Moses turns up. Moses, the one who killed someone and done a runner, he then turns up to say to us that God wants to set us free. So one of the teenagers are going to read out what it is that Moses said to the people of Israel when he came to see them. And I believe it's Gabriella.
He's seen your misery here in Egypt. He's heard your crying out because of your slave drivers, and he's concerned about your suffering. So he's come down to rescue you from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring you out of here and take you into a good, spacious land. A land flowing with milk and honey.
Thank you, Gabriella. So Moses comes to them, he's seen your misery here in Egypt. He's heard you crying for freedom, and he's concerned about your suffering. So he's come down to rescue us from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring us up out of the land and take us into a good, spacious land flowing with milk and honey. What would your reaction be? Some of you say hallelujah, some of you say yes. To be honest, I don't think I would believe it at all. I'd be like, 400 years we've been in slavery, and now Moses comes back to say that God wants to set us free. I'd be like, no, I don't believe it. And to be honest, I think a few people responded in that way. Because it says in scripture that Aaron performed signs before the people, and then they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Thank you, man. That's what I needed you for. Sometimes it helps to have a visualization. Thank you. So they believe. Yeah, you're free. You're free to go. And so God gets to work at freeing us from Egypt, and he sends down these supernatural plagues. We heard the plague, first of all, of the River Nile turning into blood, and then we had the plague of the frogs, and then we had the gnats after that. And he sends down these plagues, and we're not being touched by it at all. All the Egyptians are. And he's sending these supernatural disasters so that we, his people, can be saved. And so after all these supernatural disasters happen, Pharaoh's finally like, you know what, just take them, just go. Because of course the final one was the firstborn of the Egyptians being killed. And so he says, just go, I've had enough. And so we're walking out of Egypt. We're walking out together, our men are with us, and we're walking and we're free at last. Can you imagine what that feels like, to be free at last? And then not only did God send down these supernatural disasters so that we can be free, he then leads us by supernatural ways, by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. All for our freedom. God is doing all of this. How would you feel? And then after he leads us like this, we get to the sea. And we know Pharaoh's behind us and he's going to kill us. And we begin to doubt again. Lord, why have you brought us here just to be killed by the Egyptians? And then he does something so miraculous. He splits the Red Sea so again, we can be free. So we've been set free by supernatural disasters, supernatural guidance. This cloud or pillar at night and the cloud of fire, sorry, at day and the cloud of fire at night. And then he splits the Red Sea, all for our freedom. How would you feel? See, to Israel, when we look through the Old Testament and Exodus, freedom for Israel wasn't just about, oh, we're just being free, we're just free. Freedom was this supernatural, precious, miraculous gift to Israel from their God. It was a gift given to them, and it was miraculous, and it was supernatural, and no one had ever seen freedom like that before. No one. So we see that in the Old Testament. But what about the New Testament? So, do any of you actually know what the first kind of words Jesus said about why he'd come? Why he'd been sent? To set at liberty. Jesus came preaching a ministry of liberty. Freedom. I've come to set people free. And I believe Anya's going to read out exactly what Jesus said.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Thank you, Anya. Thank you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Luke chapter 4, 16 to 19. So the fact that Jesus came preaching that he's come to set people free suggests that people were in bondage, suggests that people were slaves, suggests that they couldn't free themselves, so Jesus had to come down to free them. But when Jesus starts talking about what he came to do, there are a few who just didn't understand because according to them, they weren't in any slavery. And so we're going to just quickly read a discussion that Jesus had with some of the Jews, and Monique will read that for us, please.
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching and you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. Who can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin."
Thank you, Monique. Thank you. I'll just keep it on this screen. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. What is a slave to sin? Someone who just actually can't help but sin. They actually want to do right, but they just can't help but sin. To do things that are unrighteous, that are unpleasing to God. And they just can't free themselves from this need, this desire to sin. That's someone who is a slave to sin. You know, it's very interesting how people of the world, people who are unsaved, believe that they're free. They're free to do this, that, and whatever. They're living in the light, and they're just exploring and finding out who they are, and nothing's oppressing them. It's an absolute lie. And it's a lie that keeps people in slavery, in the kingdom of darkness, because if you believe that you're free already, then you will never believe that you need to be set free. There is no freedom in the world whatsoever. There is no light in the world whatsoever. But Jesus came to set people free, and he showed us that in some of the things he did when he walked the earth, setting people free from demonic spirits, opening their eyes so that they could see, healing people from medical issues. And he was just showing us in the physical, the healing that he's doing, but he came to heal and set free in the spiritual also. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 tells us, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Under the control of the evil one. There is no freedom in the world. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. He came to preach good news, to open the eyes so that we could understand and know that he is true and that we are in darkness and that he has come to set us free. And we are in him who is true by being his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. There is no freedom in the world. And again, if you think about what Jesus said to Paul when he commissioned him, Paul says this, and I asked, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. To open their eyes, this spiritual blindness, this belief that being in the world is free, there's no freedom in it. From darkness to light, which suggests that the world is full of darkness, but in Jesus' kingdom there is light. And from the power, again, of Satan to God. So we're seeing this image, and I know I talk about it all the time, I know I do, and I probably won't ever stop saying it. There's only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. There's nothing in between, and if you're not saved, you're in the kingdom of darkness. And in the kingdom of darkness, you're unable to experience God because you're under sin, you're under Satan, you belong to him. But it's always been God's desire that you would be set free from the kingdom of darkness and be in the kingdom of light where he is, to enjoy him, to be in relationship with him, to be his child, a child of God. It's always been his desire, and it always will be his desire, that you should come up from out of the darkness and come into the light. See, when we think about Israel and God setting them free, he didn't just come down and set them free and say, okay, guys, cool, set you free, see you later. He didn't do that. He set them free and then he showed them the way to go. He took them somewhere. He took them to a place where he decided to reveal himself to them, where they could worship him. He didn't just set them free and say, off you go, guys. See you later. They were taken to a place where they could serve and worship him. Because there's no freedom outside of worshiping God. There's no freedom outside of serving God. There's something important that Moses first says to Pharaoh when he has an encounter with him. And he says this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. In other words, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may serve and worship me. And again, every time Moses goes to Pharaoh to say, let my people go, he says, the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Worship me. See, God set them free and he sent them to a land flowing with milk and honey, where they'll be provided for, where he was, where they could worship him, where they could experience freedom in him. And Jesus, whose ministry was one of liberty, one of freedom, he didn't just come and set us free from darkness and say, okay, cool, guys, you can do what you want to do now. He set us free from darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light so that we may follow him. He didn't set us free to wander. He set us free to follow him, to be in his presence. If you go back to what the discussion that he had with the Jews, he said to the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. To hold me is to persevere. To hold me is to live it out. To hold me is to take it as truth. To hold me is to walk out what I have taught you. And if you do that, then you will know the truth. Jesus is the truth. So if you do that, you will know me. And if you know me, then you will be set free. There is no freedom outside of Jesus. There is no freedom outside of Jesus. There is no freedom in the world. There is darkness in the world. And when Jesus set you free, it's so that you can follow him. Follow him and experience true Christian freedom. I have an image of someone who's in a prison cell. Imagine he's been there for years, and the day of his release comes, and they open the gate, and they're like, come out, it's time for you to go. And he decides he's going to sit there. Nah, I don't want to go. That's what some of us do when God sets us free. We don't move. We act as if we're still in the kingdom of darkness. We act as if sin still has this hold on us. We act as if we can't give in to temptation. We act as if we're not free at all. We act as if we're still sons of Satan. God has set you free. Walk in his freedom. Follow him. Follow him and experience true freedom. It's a choice we make. He has set us free spiritually. Now it's your choice to follow him. A few scriptures that will remind you that it's a choice, because Paul continues to encourage believers, do this and do that. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. This is a choice that you get to make. Romans 12, chapter 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have a choice not to conform to the patterns of the world. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you to live it. You have a choice to live it. When you was in darkness, you didn't have a choice. You was in bondage, but now you are free. You have the choice to live a life of righteousness. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who enjoys such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We have a choice. We have a choice to throw off everything that hinders us. We have a choice to walk in the freedom that God came to give us.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.